Hello and welcome to the Women's Hour. I'm Kelly Pyle, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. Today's show features articles from the June 2nd edition of People Magazine, the April 2025 edition of Women's Health, and the online daily newsletter, Oprah Daily. Some of these stories include Alan Alda, always looking for the funny side, This Is Your Brain on Change, and Can AI Improve Your Sex Life? Alan Alda, always looking for the funny side. On the heels of his buzzy cameo on The Four Seasons, the TV legend opens up about living with Parkinson's disease and the key to his 68-year marriage, by Brianne Tracy from People magazine. At 89, Alan Alda is as quick-witted as ever. Just ask him how he's doing. Making progress, he says with a sly smile. He pauses before adding, I didn't say in which direction. Since being diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in 2015, the beloved MASH star and father of three, who also has face blindness or prosopagnosia, which makes it difficult for him to recognize people, says life has been a never-ending series of puzzles. Almost every day, I'm finding a new way to do something, he says. It's gone from a part-time job to almost a full-time job, keeping track of all these little solutions. But it keeps me always looking for the funny side. If managing his Parkinson's is a full-time job, then acting could be considered Alda's side gig, and it's certainly keeping him busy. Alda recently made a scene-stealing cameo on Tina Fey's Netflix series adaptation of his 1981 film, The Four Seasons, which follows three pairs of couples as their relationships and friendships evolve over the course of a year. Fey's series has also been renewed for a second season. I'm so happy for Tina, says Alda. The movie meant a lot to me, and people are reacting to her work very much as they did to mine. While writing the original Four Seasons script, the New York City native, then already a star thanks to MASH, which ran from 1972 to 1983, and films like Same Time Next Year, was inspired by events happening around me in my personal life. Before they filmed, the cast, which included Carol Burnett and Rita Moreno, spent 3 weeks rehearsing and trading stories about our past, remembers Alda, who also directed the movie. At one eventful lunch at a Chinese restaurant, there was a dish of mushu pork on the table, and it had vegetables wrapped up in a pancake, he says. At one point, Carol stood up, held the pancake up, and let the whole thing unroll and said, "It's a message from the king." In the original film, Alda plays controlling lawyer Jack Burroughs. On Fey's series, Will Forte plays a reimagined version of Alda's role, while Alda appears as a character's father. During a scene with Faye and Coleman Domingo, his character offers them some hilarious marriage advice. Every once in a while, my wife would say, "Congratulations, take off your pants, it's a sex day. You might think of trying that with your spouse." Like his character, Alda regularly calls upon advice from his own wife of 68 years, Arlene. She always says, "The secret to marriage is a short memory," he says. We both try to practice being there when we're there, listening, answering, taking an interest. Through his journey with Parkinson's, which has caused body tremors visible in his Four Seasons cameo, Alda says Arlene, 92, whom he met during their college days in New York City in 1956, has been present every step of the way. "I don't have dexterity with my fingers the way I used to, so sometimes she has to tear a package open for me," he says. "She's so good-natured about it. I'm always saying thank you." It's that sense of gratitude that has continued to carry him through every era of his life. "No matter what he accomplishes, I don't get proud," he says. "I get glad that I can do something. Proud seems like a waste of time." Breathing new life into the Four Seasons. Alda says Faye brought his story of the Four Seasons up to date in her new Netflix series. The relationships are more modern, and there are phrases and words that are used now that didn't exist 44 years ago, like incel, says Alda. But the attention to friendship and marriage is there. You've been listening to Alan Alda, Always Looking for the Funny Side, from People Magazine. Shaboozy is burning up. Hot guy summer. The singer's life was turned topsy-turvy by a bar song, Tipsy, and He's Just Getting Warmed Up, by Rachel DeSantis, with photographs by Daniel Pakasik. This is from People Magazine. Shaboozy has just returned to his 6'3" vertical form after spending the past few minutes posing horizontal on a pool float, basking in the Hollywood Hills sun for his People cover. The country star is taking a breather when suddenly he's surprised with a chocolate cake celebrating his milestone 30th birthday 3 days earlier. Not that he's making a big deal of it. "I'm not a huge birthday person, but I was able to see my family, and that was really special. I hadn't seen them in probably a year," says the singer, whose breakthrough 2024 kept him busier than most. "I'm definitely proud of how my 20s turned out. The way my career is, the way I am, the name, it just shows anything's possible. My whole life is literally just a pinch me moment." Pinch him all you want, but this isn't a dream Shaboozy will be waking up from anytime soon. More than a year after its April 2024 release, his smash hit, a bar song, Tipsy, is still sitting pretty at number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100, where it already set the record for longest running number 1 song of all time by a solo artist. Featuring an interpolation of Jaquan's 2004 hit Tipsy, the genre-defying earworm has proved to be lightning in a bottle and earned Shaboozy 5 nominations at the 2025 Grammy Awards. On his rise to the top, he also scored a coveted invite to the Met Gala, not one, but 2 features on Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter, hot ticket festival gigs at Coachella and Glastonbury, and a Super Bowl ad appearance. "I want to outdo what I did last year. I want to outdo this song," says Shaboozy, fully focused on the future. You'll drive yourself crazy trying to compare or compete, but I want to continue to make music that people know across the world. Country was always calling for Shaboozy, who grew up Collins Chaboose in Woodbridge, Virginia, the second of four children born to Nigerian parents. His father, who attended college in Texas after immigrating to the United States, is a longtime fan of Americana and the Old West, and his penchant for artists like Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton served as Shaboozy's first taste of country. He was a role model in other ways, too. My dad told me a story the other day about how he told his parents, "Hey, I'm going to make you guys proud," Shaboozy says. He washed dishes and figured out any menial jobs he could to pay his way through college. He's always telling me about individual responsibility. It's on you to really make something of yourself. I definitely put a lot of those principles into my work ethic. My mom also worked pretty tirelessly. It's very inspiring. I'm grateful for them. Shaboozy's dad also inspired his stage name, albeit unintentionally. A play on his surname, which is pronounced Chibweze, the moniker came about after it was mispronounced by his high school football coach. Growing up, it was always just a thing trying to pronounce the name. That was the nickname everyone called me back home, and it shows how far I probably thought this was actually going to go, he explains. Though music was initially an escapist hobby that helped him break up the monotony of his small-town high school routine, Shaboozy says he fell in love with creating. He describes the early years of his career as pretty directionless. He was bursting at the seams with creativity, but lacked the focus to streamline and execute his ambitious ideas, including a Western and rock opera. His 2014 debut single, Jeff Gordon, featured a hip-hop flow and a trap beat, as did much of his 2018 debut album, Lady Wrangler. In May 2024, he released his third album, Where I've Been Isn't Where I'm Going, a cohesive vision that married his hip-hop origins with Southern rock and Americana flair. There was always this need in me to create the music I'm making now, but I love so many other types of music, Shaboozy says. It always felt like I was running from this a little bit, chasing something, and I stopped doing that with the music I'm doing now. It feels like I'm right at home, honestly. Breaking into country music as a black artist can be tough, but Shaboozy didn't let the possibility of not being welcomed by the community hold him back. I loved that there was so much room for some diversity in the space and to stand out. I love standing out, he says. I love that I'm different. I think it's my superpower. I'm not feeling like I'm not allowed in this space because of the way I look or the way I dress or the way I present myself. If anything, hopefully it opens doors for people. Singer-songwriter Miles Smith, who collaborated with Shaboozy on Blink Twice off the newly released deluxe edition of Where I've Been, says, "He inspires me every day with everything he's accomplishing and the walls that he's tearing down. The precedent that he's setting is incredible." Now, Shibuzi is ready to enjoy his view from the top. He's heading out on his biggest tour yet in September, and he also has the freedom to pursue other goals, like starting a production company for stories he'd like to see on the big screen. Then there's the impact his success had on his personal life. I think it's allowed me to mature a little bit and be able to just let it come to me, he says of finding love. I don't even know yet what I'm looking for, but he does know how to plan a date. I've been really into hiking, he says. I would say I'm a funny guy, so I just turn it into a laugh fest, honestly. Whatever his plan, Shibuzi's future is bright, and that's no joke. The worst thing that can happen to an artist is waking up and not being inspired. As long as you're inspired, you can create something that changes your life. I have so many ideas. Who knows what the next thing will be, he says. This is where the fun begins. With additional reporting by Daniela Avila. Shibuzi fills in the blanks. My go-to summer drink is Coors Light. My song of the summer is Messy by Lola Young. The movie I'm most excited to see this summer is The Long Walk. My workout routine is, I'm trying to find one. I love sports. I'm very competitive. So football, basketball, definitely trying to get more into swimming. My dream vacation spot is Tokyo. My next bucket list item is hopefully buying a house. My current binge is The Office. You've been listening to Shibuzi is Burning Up from People Magazine. Sarah Silverman, Healing with Laughter. After losing her parents 9 days apart, the comedian channeled her grief into a new Netflix stand-up special. She opens up about the cathartic experience and how she found new love by Colleen Cratafil from People Magazine. Unlike her three sisters, Sarah Silverman hasn't seen signs from her late parents or step-parents, but she has her own ways of keeping them close. I always email them, she says. When you have something to brag about, your parents are the only people in the world that love it. It's sustenance for them. It makes them so happy. I'll send some sort of braggy thing like, guess who I met? The Emmy-winning comedian, known for her stand-up routines where no controversial topic is off-limits, is in a reflective state during a Zoom interview from her home in Los Angeles. Tomorrow is the 2-year anniversary of my dad dying. It was such a horrible, beautiful, interesting time that kind of left us all just completely depleted and then kind of full again, says Silverman, 54. Her father, Donald, who owned a discount women's clothing store, died of kidney failure just 9 days after her stepmother, Janice, died of pancreatic cancer. Donald opted against hospital treatment to live out his final moments at home. He could have probably fought and lived a little longer, says Silverman. He wanted to be with Janice. Silverman cared for them, or doulaed them through death, as she puts it, and detailed it all in a stand-up tour, Postmortem, which was filmed for a new Netflix special streaming now. At first, I was dredging it all up, but by the second half of the tour, I got excited each night to tell everybody about my parents, she says. It was extremely cathartic. But she doesn't want fans to get the wrong idea. It's not sad, it's really funny. Silverman was raised in New Hampshire by Donald and her mother, Beth Ann, who divorced when she was 6. I was thrilled, she recalls. My older sisters were very upset, but honestly, I still feel I was right on. I was like, oh, I'm not going to go to sleep to people screaming? Great. They really hated each other. Each remarried and found their soulmates, and because they were happy, they eventually became best friends who lived 3 minutes apart. When my mom died, she was holding my dad and my stepmother's hands, Silverman said. In the past 2 years, she has relied on the constant support of her sisters, Susan, 62, Laura, 58, and Jodine, 54, but says she's learned over the years that grief takes care of itself. You don't have to worry about it. Beth Ann died in 2015, and her stepfather, John, died in 2007. You can focus on running towards joy wherever it is. Silverman found one of her biggest sources of joy in an unexpected place. During the pandemic, she taught herself how to play Call of Duty World War II to pass the time. After she posted about it on social media, comedian Rory Albanese, whom she had met only once, replied. They played together every night. At first, we were just killing Nazis together. But after a while, we clearly had feelings for each other. She recently bought her first house in LA, and Albanese, 48, moved in. It's crazy. I was very peacefully and happily single, says Silverman, who was last linked to actor Michael Sheen in 2018. I felt done, to be honest. You can't predict anything. And she's ready for whatever comes next in her career, whether it's more touring, acting, or working on her podcast. I feel wildly successful in that I am happy, I'm healthy, I'm 54, and I'm still working, she says. It's human nature to be afraid of the unknown, but don't waste anxiety on the unknown. The unknown is thrilling. We really should just be on the edge of our seat. This has been Sarah Silverman, Healing with Laughter, from People. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer broadcaster, Kelly Pyle, and this is the Women's Hour. This is your brain on change. Big moves and major decisions impact you on a molecular level. Here's how to harness it all for smooth sailing. By Addison Aloian from Women's Health Magazine. Two major life changes hit me at the same time, roughly 7 years ago. Moving to a big city and going to college. I couldn't wait to finally begin the adventure. But by the time August rolled around and I started packing up my boxes, the emotions came on hard. I was moving somewhere I'd always wanted to live. Woohoo! But I was also leaving behind family and friends. And my parents were selling my childhood home. And I was going to have to navigate life in a dorm. Yes, this was college, not a unique experience. But still, these chaotic feelings did a number on my mental health and made me pretty darn anxious. But that's normal when you're going through changes, whether good or bad, rare or run-of-the-mill. Change impacts your brain on a chemical level. Novelty is a big driver of learning and synaptic change, says Allison L. Barth, PhD, a professor of life sciences at Carnegie Mellon University. Your brain works differently when everything seems new. The positive side of it all, your brain was built for this. Making a change isn't an inherently bad or stressful thing that your brain can't manage. It is literally its job, says Rachel Projansky, PSYD, Director of Trauma Services at the Center for Motivation and Change in New York City. We can all thank a feature called neuroplasticity, which is the brain's ability to adapt in response to a new environment. Your brain learns what to expect by restructuring its circuits and creating fresh neural pathways, says Daya A. Grant, PhD, a neuroscientist and certified mental performance consultant in Los Angeles. This translates to you thinking differently based on the relevant sensory cues you encounter, even though you likely won't notice you're doing it. For instance, on the first day at a new job, you might be extra observant about your surroundings, taking note of whether the front desk worker is grouchy or helpful. Your brain is in learning mode as you're familiarizing yourself with the situation. This process can go on for a while. Your brain takes time to fully adapt to change. In fact, you won't feel adjusted right away because, like muscles getting used to a strength training routine, your brain needs a lot of reps to get you on board. And that mental discomfort you feel, maybe when a coworker seems annoyed at your very fair question, that's your brain sending the body a stress signal because it's still unfamiliar with the new normal, says Grant. As humans, we crave control and predictability in our lives, which helps keep anxiety at bay. But if that stability is threatened, even if we actively choose to switch jobs, our brain wants us to stay alert to danger in the new environment, says psychiatrist Sue Varma, MD, author of Practical Optimism. Thousands of years ago, humans got these stress signals when, say, venturing into a different forest, because a bear might be lurking behind a tree and we had to be alert. But nowadays, those same stress signals are released even when the threat is non-physical, like a life-altering change that feels unpredictable. In my case, the threat was moving to New York City and not knowing if I was going to make friends or adapt to college life. But experts say to be patient. Your brain is working hard to learn and to create fresh neural pathways. And there are a lot of factors that can affect how fast you adapt, including how you handle stress and your mental attitude going into these experiences. Breaking down the brain basics. Right before, during, and after you experience a big life change, hormones like cortisol and neurotransmitters, the chemical messengers that carry info between neurons like dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine, and gamma-aminobutyric acid, increase and can fluctuate for minutes, hours, or even days. Many of these messengers are released at the same time because initially our bodies are reacting, acclimating, and getting prepared to respond and protect ourselves, says Dr. Varma. Eventually, you'll be able to step back and decide how you feel about that change exciting, fresh, intense. So just remember that these emotional and chemical fluctuations are what propel us through various circumstances, even if they might not feel so good at first. How long these chemical fluctuations last depends on how you perceive the change, says Dr. Varma. Let's say you know you'll be receiving a marriage proposal and even helped pick out the exact engagement ring of your dreams. The actual proposal might feel less significant once it does happen. In this scenario, the neurotransmitters that are released will likely fluctuate for only minutes or hours. But if you're completely caught off guard by a proposal, you truly had no idea it was on the horizon, you might view it as more significant and noteworthy, and those fluctuations may last longer. Similarly, the way you handle stress, including your baseline stress level, plays a role, per Dr. Varma. If you're more easily frazzled, your neurotransmitter levels will probably already be high, and adding more stress to your plate means these chemical messengers will stay elevated longer. Making sense of the science. Let's examine a little case study here to understand how this works. Say you've just moved because you wanted more space, yet you left behind a street with good friends and a tight-knit community. As you begin settling into your new house, you might look around at your kids and your belongings in new places and start to feel anxious, second-guessing the decision, perhaps even wondering if you should have just stayed put. Thank the increase in cortisol for that reaction, says Projansky. As part of this stress response, adrenaline is also released, triggering a fight-or-flight reaction, and you get a spike in norepinephrine, which helps keep you focused and alert. But the morning after, while you're making pancakes for the family, the stress has melted away, and you might feel practically euphoric. That's because dopamine, which is in charge of motivation and is part of the brain's reward pathway, has increased, telling you that the change is good and encouraging you to keep going, or in this case, to stay in this new, exciting home rather than go back to your old place, says Grant. There's a reason people call the first moments after a big life change the honeymoon phase. Without dopamine, you wouldn't get out of bed in the morning, go to work, plan your week, take risks, or make decisions that give you a sense of purpose, Dr. Varma says. Plus, endorphins, those natural painkillers related to feelings of happiness, reinforce this better-than-great feeling. And after a few weeks, when you're all settled, watching Netflix in your spacious living room, you might start to feel calm and content again. That's because gamma-aminobutyric acid, GABA, and serotonin are being released, helping to promote relaxation, regulate your mood, GABA, and make you happy, serotonin. In fact, you'll get a serotonin boost anytime something positive happens that's related to that change. Maybe you realize how nice it is to have a backyard and to watch your kids play in the grass, helping you stay happy and motivated when you think about it. So when you host your first dinner party in the new place, you can bet the serotonin will be flowing, reinforcing the feeling that you made the right decision and are exactly where you're meant to be. Practice makes stronger. Over time, we get better at learning and adapting to change, because the more we experience it, the more our brain is primed to take on all that newness in future situations. After all, it's had practice in talking to its different networks and making those connections. This makes any change-related task smoother. Something called long-term potentiation, LTP, is one of the main mechanisms allowing our brain to adapt to new situations. It refers to the strengthening of your brain's synapses, which are the gaps between neurons through which they talk to each other by sending chemical signals after being repeatedly activated. The stronger the synapse, the faster the chemical message is transmitted, Grant says. Think about it. If you switch jobs and have to go into an office farther away than your previous one, you may have to take a different route to get there. The first day, you might get lost. But after a week, the new pathways in your brain have become stronger thanks to LTP, altering your brain at the neural level, Grant says. In other words, your neurons have already spent 5 days talking to each other in this new way, which translates to you remembering exactly which turns to take, the correct highway exit, and where to park. This is the brain saying, "Oh yeah, I've already done this process a few times, so I know what to do here now," Grant says. The more times you make your new commute, the more confident you become. We recognize that we are fully capable of handling these changes. Then we develop resilience, she says. So the next time you endure a big change of any kind, you're prepared for it. By the way, encountering positive change is crucial for brain health as you age, Grant adds. Something as simple as adjusting to your puppy's feeding and walking schedule, for instance, can help your brain's neuroplasticity and even help you develop new neuronal connections, according to recent research in brain sciences. Your brain has to work harder when you introduce it to something new, and this strengthens your memory and your ability to learn as you age. Not all change is created equal. Lest you think we're here solely to sing the praises of change, it's important to note that in certain circumstances, a significant shift is much more difficult for your brain to process. Anytime you choose to make a change, say deciding to retire, there's an element of control that means it's more likely you'll perceive it as a positive challenge, says Projansky. But if the change is out of your control, like getting fired or your spouse being relocated to a new state, you're more likely to perceive it as a threat. At this point, our body really kicks into high gear as it can feel really draining, Projansky says. With these types of changes, the brain is built to protect itself and us from danger, so it takes an extra emotional toll. In this scenario, the frontal cortex, which is involved in decision-making, social behavior, impulse control, and planning, will shut down, and your attention will go to the threat in your environment, this unexpected change, Projansky says. You might be thinking, what do I need to do to survive, instead of, wow, I'm really looking forward to this new era of my life. You'll likely experience more negative emotions like fear, anxiety, and sadness at first. A caveat. As women, we go through changes in life that can make us feel out of control, like getting our period, experiencing pregnancy and childbirth, or going through menopause. These changes are in a league of their own because on top of all the usual brain shifts, our hormones fluctuate during these life stages. This added biological component can make our responses and our brain's responses to change inconsistent, Projansky says. You can, however, shift your mindset to view an unwanted change or an event you didn't expect at a certain time as a welcome challenge. And it may be as easy as saying that to yourself in your head or out loud. As Grant says, you'll feel more curious and motivated because you're excited. It's normal to feel unsettled when going through a change. Try these tips to feel more at home in your brain and body. Number one, let it rain. The RAIN acronym stands for 1, recognize what's happening, 2, allow the experience to happen and accept it, 3, investigate your emotional reactions, thoughts, and physical sensations, and 4, nurture yourself by reminding yourself that this is hard and it's okay for it to feel challenging and to not figure it all out immediately, Projansky says. Practice these steps by journaling, including writing down why you made this change and reminding yourself of that on a daily basis, and meditating. Number 2, tap into networks. Humans are wired for connection. We tend to feel our best when our social relationships are at their healthiest, Projansky says. So look for a support group or reach out to friends so you feel less alone. You could also join an activity-based social group during a new life phase, like an intramural sports club, a knitting class, or a book club, Projansky says. Start small, whatever small means to you, and those small steps will add up, she explains. You can even set little goals. Maybe bring a friend with you to your first month of social events, but after 4 weeks, you attend solo. 3, stick to routine. Maintaining your non-negotiables is a good reminder that not everything in life has changed. We still know who we are and what we enjoy, Projansky says. Maybe you made tacos every Tuesday night. Keep that going after a move. Stick to your foundational practices, but leave room for adjustment, Grant says. Number 4, be still. Your brain is constantly receiving sensory information in a new environment or situation, says Grant. So adding quiet time to your routine, outside of sleeping and watching Netflix, is key. That could mean going for a walk, hiking, or meditating, sans technology, to settle your nervous system, Grant adds. Number 5, dream it into life. Write down qualities you want future you to embody. If you just got married, you could write adventurous because you're embarking on a new life adventure. Or if you just retired, you could write down relaxed. Then close your eyes and breathe deeply for 1 to 3 minutes as you picture yourself going about your day with those qualities. Maybe you're traveling with your spouse or attending a local pottery class. 6, ask an expert. Therapy is especially helpful when dealing with transitions, as it can help you identify goals and roadblocks and teach you new skills and strategies for problem solving, Projansky says. Plus, it may literally change your neural circuitry and therefore the way you think, per research published in Frontiers in Psychology. Number 7, get moving. Exercise is critical for cultivating resilience, Grant says. Sweat in whatever way you like. That's how you're going to be consistent. That might mean starting a new yoga practice or continuing an established routine. Number 8, prioritize your Z's. Sleep is beneficial for many reasons, but it definitely improves your learning skills, according to research in the Journal of Neuroscience. This can help you adjust faster. You've been listening to This is Your Brain on Change from Women's Health Magazine. Can AI improve your sex life? We tried Arya, a digital intimacy concierge, to find out. By Gabrielle Castle, published May 27, 2025. This is from Oprah Daily. My last relationship ended because we stopped having sex. This might seem surprising, considering that I write about sex for a living. But by the time I shut my laptop each day, my bandwidth for contemplating my own bedroom issues and confronting them with my partner is nearly non-existent. This isn't just a me problem. Data suggests that nearly half of women want more or better partnered sex than they are currently having. And because we live in the year 2025, there's a new artificial intelligence tool aiming to help couples in this camp, Arya. One feature of Arya is an AI-supported sex concierge, a very inquisitive and sex-positive chat box that helps identify untapped areas of sexual interest. The concierge then curates themed monthly boxes of intimacy products, think vibrators or other toys, for couples to try together. Arya allows couples to outsource the work associated with creating novel sexual experiences, scheduling sex, and making it fun, says Shan Boodram, an AASECT certified sex and relationship educator, chief intimacy officer of Arya, and author of The Game of Desire. When I first heard about Arya, I was intrigued but skeptical. I already have large concerns about generative AI's significant environmental impact and its legally questionable use of other people's creative material. Sex is one of the most intimate experiences we can have as humans. Could a bot really make it better? Meeting my AI-powered sexpert. Arya's chat box is programmed to respond like a human to straightforward questions about sex, says relationship scientist Nicholas Velotta, the head of relationship research at the company. Think, how do I initiate sex with my partner? Or, how do I use this vibrator you sent me? For more complex queries like, why am I feeling disconnected from my partner even after sex? The AI will tag in a real-life intimacy educator on the Arya team, Velotta explains. This service doesn't come cheap. Arya's membership costs $350 annually, or $40 if you pay monthly. But considering that a single sex therapy session can cost $250 without insurance, and each monthly package from Arya includes 3 full-size products from brands like Dame, Maud, Satisfyer, Bloomy, Splash Blanket, and Lilo, the fee feels reasonable to this sex writer, but I had to test it myself to be sure. I started by heading to the Aria website right from my smartphone. No app download required. After submitting payment, I set up my profile by answering 20 questions about the current state of my relationship, sex life, and desire. Prompts include, I get turned on by things that are taboo to me, and I'm excited to try energy work with my partner. The whole thing took about 6 minutes. Aria used my answers to assign me an erotic persona, a sexuality type developed by Aria's team. Apparently, I'm a connector, which means I crave intimacy in many forms. True. The other three erotic personas, romantics require emotional closeness, adventurers need novelty, and directors desire straightforward on the reg. As with love languages and attachment styles, this intel can be used to help couples better understand each other, Velada explains. It would also be used to help curate my monthly offerings. Once my profile was set up, my phone pinged with an introductory text from the chat box, which calls itself my Aria Concierge. Boodram says the chat box takes info from you and your partner's profiles to recommend different sexual experiences to try. Even though I'm single, I was assured by the Aria team that this platform would still work for people flying solo. Hey, Gabrielle, this is your Aria Concierge. You can message me anytime with questions or comments. I'm working on getting your first scene ready, the text read. Scene is Aria's term for the personalized sexual experiences and products it curates. An hour later, I received a second text stating that my first scene had been unlocked. Apparently, my intake responses indicated that sexual experiences focusing on sensory stimulation, playing around with touch, smell, sound, and sight, rather than just penetration, really do it for me. A themed package, which included a Wartenberg pinwheel, a small spiky wheel you roll over the skin, a satin blindfold, and a satisfying finger vibrator was on its way. Over the next few days, the chat box capably answered my questions about how to safely tie a blindfold around my own eyes and whether the pinwheel was safe to use on my genitals. I learned that yes, it was, but it's best to build up desire by starting elsewhere. It also sent me links to exclusive videos, written guides, and erotica, all about sensory play. I found these offerings surprisingly robust and helpful. The guides helped me better understand how to use the toys and provided lots of inspiration on how to use them. Added bonus, the tingly anticipation I felt about my upcoming delivery. That customized educational piece is not necessarily something you get when you just order a new toy online. Seeking pleasure with my package. Finally, my scene arrived on my front door. Permission to explore solo previously granted, I climbed into bed where I stayed not sleeping for the next 2 hours. My Aria Concierge checked in via text a few days later about my experience. Boodram says this is the most valuable part of the service. I shared two main takeaways. One, I would never have picked out a Wartenberg wheel myself, but rolling it along my thighs and tummy was clutch for taking me out of my head before a solo session. 2. Wearing a blindfold while masturbating, a la Nicole Kidman in Baby Girl, isn't as much fun for me as blindfolding a partner. I became super aware of and freaked out by the creaky sounds in my house. Big mood killer. Still, all in all, playing with my senses was a big win and something I resolved to do more often. Not every scene you get from Arya will be like a home run, like my first one was. And that's okay, says Boodrum. I want you to think about signing up for Arya like a Mediterranean cruise. There will be ports you love and ports you don't, she says. Just learning the process is valuable, she argues. You can also text this new intel to your AI sex coach, and like any good bot, it'll use to inform the next month's options. Ultimately, my larger concerns about AI technology still exist, but I was pleasantly surprised by how my month with Arya led to quite a bit of fun, sexual self-discovery. Maybe bots do have a place in the bedrooms of the future. You've been listening to Can AI Improve Your Sex Life? From Oprah Daily. Thanks for joining us today for the Women's Hour. I'm Kelly Pyle, and I'm your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. I hope you enjoyed the stories in our program today, and make plans to join us again next week for another interesting collection of women's magazine articles. And don't forget, you can take Sun Sounds with you. You can stream as well as access shows on demand on our new Sun Sound of Arizona apps. Have a great day, and be sure to stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.